If you thought Glacier Bay National Park was just whales and bears and glaciers, well, you have another thing coming. As you sail into Glacier Bay today on your Holland America cruise, you're going to learn more about Glacier Bay than, well, you thought possible. The naturalists will be sharing some real insights into the park. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. So let's begin this journey together. You know, Glacier Bay is so beautiful, and it's known as a mecca for visitors. People often don't realize it's actually also a huge scientific laboratory. And scientists are working here all the time, discovering, they're studying glaciers, they're studying the wildlife, they're studying the marine life, to find out more about our ecosystem, not just in Glacier Bay, but whatever implications it has for the planet.
Well, and with all these scientists studying various things in the park and conducting experiments, I suppose if somebody wasn't watching out for them, they'd probably be stumbling all over each other. Can you imagine that? Scientists stumbling all over each other? Well, anyway, there is so much scientific research going on in the park, and the person who watches over all of that and coordinates it is Lewis Sharman. And Lewis is park ecologist at Glacier Bay. And Lewis, what is a park ecologist?
Well, a park ecologist is sort of the person who does all kinds of general science work that's not done by specialists. We have marine mammal specialists. We have invasive plant specialists, fisheries, biologists, a bear biologist, and several other science specialists who work within the park. And the ecologist is the guy who sort of takes a broader, more comprehensive view of natural history and science in the park.
What sorts of things are you doing in the park now?
A big part of my job is to oversee scientific research that's conducted in the park by entities outside of the park. So various universities, other agencies, independent institutions who come to Glacier Bay from, in some cases, all over the world to conduct research on topics of interest to them.
Can you give us some idea of some of those things?
Well, many people come to Glacier Bay to view tidewater glaciers, for example, and as many folks have heard, glaciers in general are thinning or stagnating or retreating worldwide. Glacier Bay is one of the few areas that is relatively easily accessible where folks can actually view up close and personal an active tidewater glacier.
And Lewis, some of the glaciers are retreating and then others are advancing, is that right?
The park does host a couple of tidewater glaciers that are actually advancing. There are only a small handful of those in all of Alaska, and a couple of them are present in Glacier Bay. So there aren't many that are advancing. Most are either stagnant or retreating. So we're fortunate to have a couple here that are relatively healthy and even advancing a bit.
The rapid change here must be really interesting for scientists.
I would say that in general, if one were to characterize anything about the park with the word unique, maybe that general term of dynamic and changing is sort of at the core of what makes Glacier Bay special. Whether it's a changing landscape, a changing response by local cultures to that landscape, this place is about as dynamic and active as you'll find anywhere in the world.
Can you give us a couple of examples of projects that you're particularly interested in or things that you see happening here at Glacier Bay from your perspective?
One of the ones that really intrigues me is this notion of sea level change in Glacier Bay. And in Glacier Bay, it's not, the relative vertical height of sea level is not controlled only by more water entering the oceans. Many people have heard the story of global warming, glacier melting, and subsequent sea level rise. Here, that's somewhat complicated and enriched by the notion that as regional glaciers have melted over the past two or three centuries, that relative melting unweights the land and allows the land to actually rise. So here there's this very interesting interplay of that land uplift, which we call isostatic rebound, and rising sea level that ultimately determines what the real sea level is. And here, sea level is actually falling. The net change in sea level is a negative one. So this is one of those places in the world where we here locally are not going to have any trouble with rising sea level inundating our land.
So the land is rising too. Oh, that's comforting.
It is, and it's rising very rapidly. The recent research here in this area has documented an average rate of uplift of the land of about an inch a year, which in geologic terms is supersonic in speed. So people are very interested in observing this rebound of the land upward, and it actually is expected to outpace easily the rate of global sea level rise.
I think the other thing that's interesting to see in Glacier Bay, especially from a ship, is the rapidity with which the land recovers from being covered with ice. That's always amazed me.
The colonization and subsequent development of both plant and animal communities on land and in the sea in the park is one of the reasons that the park was established in 1925. It's extremely interesting to be able to observe the, we call the ecological succession of both a land and a seascape subsequent to its exposure as glaciers retreat. Only 300 years ago, Glacier Bay really wasn't here. There was, as you know, basically a giant glacier filling what is today Glacier Bay. And that retreat, that very rapid retreat, followed closely by the colonization of animals and plants on the landscape, is something that is of interest to scientists worldwide.
Well, that's interesting because you look at these forests and you think they're ancient. You think, well, they must have been here since primeval times, but in fact, some of them haven't been here for maybe more than a couple of centuries, right?
Right. I would say the oldest tree in Glacier Bay proper, below an elevation of, say, 2,000 feet, is 250 years old. You know, to be able to observe that type of development over a couple of generations of scientists is a real opportunity that is pretty rare.
Is there anything from your perspective as an ecologist to point out to people that maybe they might miss otherwise? Is there something maybe people look at and don't realize what they're looking at?
In particular, one can see from a cruise ship, you can see the water around you, you can see the adjacent shoreline, you can see into the uplands, but it's all relatively distant. If one were to be able to get on land and actually look closely at the vegetation, for example, or the relative diversity of organisms in the intertidal zone along a gradient of distance from tidewater glaciers and thus age, one would see tremendous changes in level of diversity and abundance of organisms, both animals and plants. And you can sort of see that in a broad context on the landscape as things change from going up bay from a mature spruce forest to a cottonwood forest and then maybe dominated by younger willows and alders and brush and then ultimately a very uncolonized moonscape close to the glaciers. And if you were to look more closely, you could even see that same pattern in the intertidal zone or even under the water.
Some of your research takes place underwater?
Glacier Bay is, after all, called Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve. So a great deal of our research, especially in the last couple of decades, has focused on the marine ecosystem.
Anything interesting down there?
Well, the park happens to host, of all things, large concentrations of cold water corals. Corals are typically thought of as organisms that are more or less restricted to tropical or subtropical marine ecosystems. But there are some corals that grow quite well in cold, higher temperate waters. And it turns out that we have some of those. They're called red tree corals. They're very brightly colored things that are big, you know, maybe a meter or more in height in cold water in Glacier Bay. You'd never think that you'd find something like that in a cold ocean with icebergs floating above, but those are some of the things that we discover once we take a look underwater.
I've heard that there are giant octopus down there. Is that right? You know, octopuses can be very clever. We saw an octopus in Hawaii who was actually able to unscrew a jar. So, I don't know, does Glacier Bay have any clever octopuses or octopi?
There are giant squid that we have found stranded on beaches. The body of the squid might be maybe 4 feet long, and the tentacles might be another 6 or 8 feet long. So these things are big. There presumably are fairly large octopus underwater as well. We have not collected any of those. We've seen some on beaches in shallow water in the intertidal zone that, if you stretched them out from arm tip to arm tip, might be 3 to 4 feet across. So pretty large octopus.
Well, so a big octopus, maybe. I wonder what they could unscrew.
Probably a 55-gallon drum.
Maybe so. It could be an octopus hotel. Well, whether it's the marine environment under the water or the ecological environment above the water. Gosh, Lewis, you look at it all, don't you?
Amongst all of the people with all of their interests, the scientists who come to Glacier Bay, we cover the gamut from terrestrial plants to marine mammals to marine invertebrates and plankton to birds to bears to geology to ecological succession to weather and climate and everything in between.
Lewis Sharman, you must have a really interesting job here in Glacier Bay.
I've always thought that I have one of the best jobs in the National Park Service. The Glacier Bay is an absolutely magical place, not only in terms of scenery, but in terms of the scientific opportunities and, you know, the lessons that Glacier Bay has to offer to folks who study the park. And to be able to sort of be in the middle of that and see what everybody does and help them do it is a real privilege.
Well, it was a privilege for us to talk with Lewis Sharman, park ecologist at Glacier Bay National Park. Thank you for joining us in Glacier Bay National Park. This recording is a copyright production of Holland America Line and is made possible through the cooperation of the rangers and scientists who work and study in Glacier Bay National Park.